This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
If you could only see what is going on in this studio, on what I was told has traditionally been the quietest sports day in North American sports on the calendar, you would, well, let's just say you'd be hunched over laughing like Mulls is right now behind the desk. If it isn't this Microsoft 98 thing in front of me, it's Gord Miller's microphone just completely and totally letting him down.
No, I broke it.
You broke it?
I broke it.
Oh.
I tried to raise it, and it just fell apart. So I broke it.
Well, that's...
This is why television has technicians. In TV, they never let us touch the stuff. Never touch the stuff.
Yeah. Well, you've got a microphone now.
I've used the one next to me.
The one adjacent to you.
I'm having a bad day.
Are you?
I'm having a rough day.
Really?
Yeah.
Because this is a great day.
It's a great... No, it's a great...
This is a content... day
because
in,
this is
in sports.
As you said, you know, today and 2 days ago are the 2 days of the year when there's no professional sports events going on, really, and we've got lots to talk about. But I made a mistake this morning.
Uh-oh.
So I sent out a tweet. I was curious because you and I had a conversation a couple of months ago about how many great Toronto athletes start and finish their career in Toronto. So I looked it up this morning, and since 1977, when the Blue Jays entered Major League Baseball, no Leaf, no Raptor, no Blue Jay has played 10 years and played his entire career in Toronto from start to finish. They've all wound up somewhere else. And so then I thought, and then I got a note that it was trending on Twitter, that the tweet was, oh, I wonder what people are saying. The first response is, what about Matt Sundin? What about Vernon Wells?
No. Quebec Nordique, Vancouver Canuck for Sundin.
Yeah.
Anaheim Angel.
Yeah.
New York Yankee for Vernon Wells.
Yeah. Played for one team.
Yeah.
So I sent a tweet out, read it again, played for one team. The next guy comes back with Roy Halladay. No. Again. So I was getting frustrated. And then another guy said, hey, what do you know? You were saying Marco Stroman all day yesterday. I know his name is Marcus Stroman. Now, maybe I slur it, and I don't say Marcus Stroman, so maybe I slurred it. But at any rate, this microphone, by the way, is dead. Like
it's gone.
Like, I've killed this thing.
It has been...
It's lying like a dead snake on the table.
It has come completely unhinged.
When the guy came running in and said, this is going to take a while?
Yeah, it's going to take...
So that was the start of my... That was the mistake to start with. Then I got caught in traffic coming here again. Like, I left lots of time.
You need more time. You're in Toronto.
I know, but I checked Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to stop for gas. I left the house at 3 o'clock. Young and Eglinton, 3 o'clock.
Okay.
I got here at 3:57.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that shouldn't happen.
You've lived in Toronto for a long time, Gordon.
20 years.
You know who is about to familiarize himself with Toronto traffic? Kawhi Leonard.
No, he won't.
He won't. He's not coming to Toronto.
He's coming to Toronto. He'll never see the traffic. He'll be on a bus. I mean, he'll live in the shadow of the CN Tower. Right,
in the shadows of the BioSteel Center. I'm about to have a new neighbor.
No, you're not. He's not going to live out there.
He's also not going to live in my cheap building.
Well,
would be
that.
My guess.
So, do you like the deal?
Well, here's what I think, and we're
amazing. It's a block.
We're gonna have a ton of guests. I just want to throw the names out there: Sam Mitchell at 4:30, Bruce Arthur in studio at 5:00, Leo Routens at the top of the 6:00 hour. We're gonna have this covered. My reaction this morning, and you know, I guess I wasn't as surprised because we had Brian Windhorst on yesterday.
And he nailed it, right?
And it was leaning in that direction. So, but when it happened, and I had a few texts from people, family and friends this morning when I woke up saying the reports are that this is effectively done. It was a holy crap moment. This is undeniably the biggest trade in Toronto Raptors franchise history.
Sure.
And not just...
Well, in terms of the player coming.
Not just because of the player coming, also because of the biggest named player going in DeMar DeRozan, and because there are a variety of different ways, some good, not so good, that this dance with Kawhi Leonard could go, and we have absolutely no idea, Gord, what direction that is going to take at this point.
Now, what was my first thought when I heard about this? You remember Hakeem Olajuwon as a Raptor?
Not good, eh?
1 year. To say he went through the motions, he didn't even rise
he
to
was
that.
At the end of his career.
He was totally
the end of his,
I get that. He didn't want to be here. He didn't. He just wasn't interested. You're right. He was an older player. He'd won lots of championships. I would say this to you, and to people that don't like the deal, and there's lots of them. I have friends that are huge Raptor fans, and they hate the deal.
Yeah, but if you want to analyze it, you got to give me something. Not you, but if you want to hate this deal, you got to give me something different than your emotional attachment to the player.
To DeMar DeRozan.
I'm not. I get it, but
so the argument
I was
they're making
on it
is
yesterday. Don't develop emotional attachments to people.
Leonard doesn't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
He's only going to be here for a year. Has an injury history. Those are the three things you hear the most. I had a really good high school social studies teacher, and one day he handed each of us a slip of paper that had an issue on it, and you had to take a position and then write an essay. And then when you did that, he handed you back your essay, then you had to write another one taking the other side. And it's a really good intellectual exercise. So if you hate this trade, sit down and think to yourself, why would the Raptors do it? They're not stupid. The people that run these teams aren't stupid. So what don't they like?
Well, here's...
So why trade DeMar DeRozan? Because you don't like him in the playoffs.
Well, there are two glaring deficiencies in DeMar DeRozan's game, and God bless him. I mean, he loved it here, but we have got to stop. Can I digress before I answer that question?
You're sure you can do whatever you want.
We have got to stop playing the role of, oh, he's just so happy to be here these predominantly Americanized sports. We don't do this in hockey. Right, I remember Brian Murray up in Ottawa used to say, if we got two players of equal status that we like in the upcoming draft and one of them is a local guy, we'll take him because he's familiar with the area, he grew up here, and we trust that he knows Ottawa or the Ottawa Valley and will be comfortable here, and that makes him more likely to stay long term.
Right.
That's not how Toronto behaves in hockey, and that's not how Toronto should behave when it comes to its baseball teams or its basketball teams. This city sells itself on its own merit. If Kawhi comes here with a full intention of leaving a year out, or he comes here with a full intention of leaving, actually grows to like the city, but leaves anyway, that is not a reflection of this city. But we're always dealing...
Yeah.
Subconsciously, and sometimes it pops to the surface with this inferiority complex. But DeMar wanted to be here, so we can't ever part with DeMar because he loved it here so much. Well, you know what? Other guys who come to play here end up loving it here as well. I can't guarantee that means Kawhi Leonard is going to do a 180 if the reports are true and he already wants the hell out before he's even set foot in the city. But we've got to get off this negative train about, well, you know, Toronto, and nobody wants to come and play here. Stephen A. Smith is doing his pro wrestling style rants on his show today and chirping Kawhi, this is what you get for playing 9 games. Go live in exile in Canada for the next 9 months.
Did he say exile?
Yeah, he called it exile and all that. And that's fine. I mean, I'd like to thank the American NBA media for paying attention to our city, because apparently that's another thing we obsess over way the hell too much.
Well, do you remember, as an aside to your aside, do you remember the comments about Bob Costas calling the World Series and the people here saying, oh, you know, Costas was cheering louder for Atlanta home runs?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Sean McDonough and Tim McCarver got carved in the 92 and 93 World Series. I remember all of that. I mean, we obsess over that. But the point is, with DeMar specifically as a player, two glaring deficiencies.
Yeah.
Not good enough defensively, and in an era, and this guy's a 2-3, typically a 2, in an era where the three-pointer is demanded, is required, especially if somebody who plays DeMar's position, he is not a good enough three-point shooter. He's a mid-range guy. So I think if you're Masai Ujiri, you're looking at it. Every GM or president of basketball ops, president of baseball ops, whatever sports, has a defining moment. Masai has had a defining summer. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye Dwayne Casey. Hello, Nick Nurse. Bye-bye DeMar DeRozan. Hello, Kawhi Leonard, with no long-term promises. In the very same way, Alex Anthopoulos muddled along for 5.5 years running the Blue Jays and then made a couple of blockbusters in that final week of July in 2015, which forever changed the way that he is perceived in this city. This is a defining moment that could go any which way for Masai Ujiri. He's put his ass on the line.
And you can't criticize him for being too patient and too deliberate and now rip him for making a really bold move. It's a hell of a gamble. It's an enormous gamble to take a 59-win team and basically take out, I would argue, their best player. I still think if you had to choose between DeRozan and Lowry, DeRozan's...
Well, I think that's a fair comment because I think it's hard to argue that DeMar DeRozan is not the best ever Raptors player.
Right. So if he's the best ever, right. So that to that point, it's a bold strike. I just think I try to sit back and say, okay, what do they think? They must think we're close. We didn't part with any of our top prospects. We didn't move any of the top prospects. We didn't move any of our best players. We have enough here to make a run for 1 year. If it doesn't work out, so be it. I guess.
DeMar's money, obviously,
yep,
is off the books. And there were 2 years left on his contract after this season. And the 2 years beyond this coming season are what's important here for context of this deal because Kawhi Leonard has 1 year left on his contract.
Right.
So they are free of DeMar's contract. Kyle Lowry has 2 years left now. We'll have, obviously, 1 year left next summer. You've got the kids like OG and Siakam still in the system. You got Fred VanVleet. You've got DeLon Wright. You didn't part with any of those guys. The reset happens here, Gord, and it's effectively at this point on Kawhi's watch. Does he commit to this city long-term because he does a 180 based off of what we're hearing right now, which is that he doesn't want to be here, or does he walk, or is there a sign-and-trade next summer, or however it works out that he ends up somewhere else? And then Masai Ujiri, with Nick Nurse on the bench, hits the fundamental reset on this franchise. Because there is a window now, right? LeBron's moved west.
Yep.
The Boston Celtics are a very good team. The Philadelphia 76ers are an emerging team in the East. The Raptors, though, I think are right there with both and maybe ahead of Philadelphia still. Like, if you're a top two team in the conference, the bottom line is this. You're going to make the playoffs. You're going to have home court in the first round. You hope you have home court in the second round. You hope Kawhi Leonard stays healthy. If he's healthy, he should be engaged because he's playing for a big contract next year. They're a better team because they got the best player in the trade.
They are a better team. There's no question.
Right now.
They're a better team right now. The question is, and what some in the NBA are saying today, the reaction around the league is, they become kind of a win-now team. They become a one-year win-now team. Because if Leonard does walk, then they're back to where they were, you know, 6-7 years ago, right? Post-Vince, post-Bosch, post-McGrady, actually longer ago than that. But the one thing I would say is, and you're right, you can't get emotional about players, but sport fandom is emotion.
Fans I understand
get,
that.
Fans
I
get attached understand. To teams, and they get attached to players. And there is something to be said for the emotional attachment that Raptor fans have to DeRozan and Lowry.
Because, well, specifically to DeRozan, because he very openly, repeatedly, and to his credit, validated our city, which negated our worst fears when it comes to players in the NBA, MLB, right?
Remember,
hockey players, well, they want to come to Toronto. Everywhere else, no, they don't.
Do you remember Doyle Alexander? Remember his list of why he hated playing in Toronto? Do you remember that?
I was a kid. And I do remember him in 87 being a Blue Jay, or was it 85? He was 85. He pitched the
and he gave a
clinching game.
His list came out of why he didn't like Toronto. Having to clear customs for every road trip.
Oh, God.
Couldn't get proper Doritos, I think was one of them.
Like, it was all the big things in life.
All the big things in life. So, no, you're right. I mean, there is a there is this element of, I don't want to say inferior. This is a great city. I love living here.
So do I.
And anyone, and I know this, I can say this about African-American athletes and athletes of color and minorities. They love playing here. This is an engaging, embracing, open city. It's a place where you love to raise your kids. It's a place where you feel safe. It's vibrant. So if you don't like it here, I'm with you. Too bad. Like, if you don't want to play here, too bad. If you think it's better to play in, I better not say a city, but if you'd rather play in Oklahoma City than play in Toronto,
that's up to you.
Fill your boots.
But, you know, and I think people are saying, well, look what Paul George did. I mean, the notion was that he wanted to go to L.A., his hometown, when he hit free agency, does the one-and-done deal in OKC, and then, oops, no, he doesn't. He re-ups.
Yep.
Like, it isn't, and I'm always careful on the air, Gord. I mean, you never say never.
Sure.
We don't feel good about the long-term prospects of this Kawhi-Raptors relationship based on the informed reports that we're reading.
Right.
But we can't say with 100% certainty that something doesn't click for this guy. Maybe Kawhi looks at it and says, geez, you know, I mean, he doesn't know anything about the city. He wouldn't expect to know a lot about the team.
Yeah.
And he gets here, and all of a sudden, they win 55 games this season, and he looks around and he says, well, you know, Lowry's a pretty good veteran, but I really like what I see in Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby and DeLon Wright. And, oh, Boston's a pretty good team. Philadelphia's an upstart team. But that Western Conference is really clogged. You got LeBron James as the face of the Los Angeles Lakers now. You got the immovable force slash the irresistible force slash the immovable object
in
the Golden State Warriors. You got the Houston Rockets. You got all these teams out there. There's an easier path to the finals in the East, and then you take your chance. And if the money's going to be the same, and the Raptors can pay him more than anybody else right now, sign and trade, I understand, is a way to get around that, but I don't see why this is a complete 100% slam dunk Kawhi's gone.
Right.
Maybe 99.9. What do I know? But it can't be 100.
But if you're looking at it, too, from the perspective of a team, a couple of things. Number one, I don't think we understand how difficult it is to get to the verge of contention, to get to that position where you're one of the teams that's in contention for a championship. You know, you win 59 games. You're excited to go to the playoffs. To get to that point is so hard because not many teams are in it, right? And so you just think, what can we do to get over the top? And the other thing is, say the Raptors win the East. Say they go through the playoffs, win the East, and in the Western Conference Final, Steph Curry turns his ankle, right? Or whatever. I mean, who knows what happens in the playoffs? So I'm with you. It is to me, whatever you think of it, it is a bold stroke. And I would say not since, I'd have to think, but maybe not since Cliff Fletcher traded Wendell Clark.
Oh.
Has there been a deal that is this bold? I'm trying to...
You think it would have taken Matt Sundin a decade for people to get real about his greatness had he been acquired for somebody other than Wendell?
No, of course not.
I mean, that was just...
Matt Sundin's one of the greatest Leafs of all time.
Absolutely. You can make the argument that he is.
Sure, you could.
Now, I didn't see Keon play and all those guys, and I don't want to digress too far down that line.
But I'm just saying it is a bold stroke for a team that has not. I mean, the biggest trades the Raptors have made over the years have been to move guys out.
Vince Carter, which was
right,
not a particularly good haul by Mr. Don't call him Mike Scott. It's Rob Babcock.
Yeah. But at the same time, their deals were moving Vince out, moving Bosch out, moving McGrady out. I mean, those were the, right? One left as a free agent, right?
They lost Bosch to free agency. Joined D. Wade and LeBron in Miami.
So, but for the most part, big Raptor deals have been to unload players. Big Jays deals, you know, the 2015 exception. But is this not the boldest?
It is, because Kawhi went.
Because you're trading a really popular guy.
Really popular, but also Kawhi is one of the best players in the NBA when he's playing in the NBA.
He's legit. He is legit a top five player in the league. Has been. Not, I mean,
He's an elite defender.
He's a Finals MVP.
He's a 39.5% career 3-point shooter.
So what happened in San Antonio, Scott?
Well, this is the
and why did it go? Because we couldn't get an answer yesterday.
Well,
we asked Brian yesterday.
Ramona Shelburne has written a terrific piece on what went down, and it's got a. I mean, what is the brief synopsis?
There's
have it make sense based on her reporting. There are people in Kawhi's orbit, which include his maternal uncle, who essentially handle his affairs. One of the things about Kawhi that a lot of people talk about is how he very rarely himself
speaks.
Does any speaking. So whatever you think about what Kawhi thinks comes out of the mouths
of someone else,
of other people. There was significant disagreement on the diagnosis of the quadriceps injury. The Spurs and Kawhi's people, and Kawhi's people were upset that the Spurs were so hesitant to go and get outside second opinions, third opinions on the matter, that they went and did it themselves.
Right.
There were two different diagnoses.
Well done.
And so with different diagnoses, you're going to get different treatments.
Yeah.
They went down the Spurs route. Kawhi would play but not feel any better. And it became kind of this friction and control.
And go back further, too. You also brought the contract. Right? Off the Finals MVP, the Spurs elected not to give him the max.
Right.
Held him for another year to save some cap space, which he apparently was unhappy at first, but accepted. And again, as you said, you're dealing with a player who's a sphinx. Like you don't know what he thinks. He's never said. He doesn't talk about anything. So it's hard to know what he thought of the contract issue. There was playing time, there was position, he wanted to be a superstar. He was the Finals MVP, but he comes in line after a bunch of guys who have been there for a long time and won together.
Right.
Under a coach who has a, you know.
What were we talking about yesterday, Gord? Yeah. Who are the New England Patriots of the NBA? The San Antonio Spurs.
Sure.
So if you work off of that premise, and I understand, and I've made it clear when I've likened the Spurs to the Patriots, that I am fully aware of the fact that the Spurs no longer are the best team in the league, the best team in their conference, nor the best team in their own state.
Yes.
Because that's the Houston Rockets.
Right.
But if you go back over the last 2+ decades,
yeah,
from a stability point of view, from a rings count point of view, I think the Lakers had 5 as well in the Shaq Kobe era, but the Spurs have 5 as well. From the end of the Admiral David Robinson's career through the Duncan years, 5 rings. Greg Popovich, stability at head coach, he's the face of that franchise, arguably now. When stuff like this happens in an environment like San Antonio, which is all about the brand on the front of the shirt, which and that stands out in the NBA.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
Because it's a star-driven, individual, brand-driven league. LeBron is the brand, not the Cavaliers.
With 5 guys in the court, so one guy can be the difference.
The Lakers are certainly a brand, but LeBron usurps them.
Mm-hmm.
He is that big a brand. It was all about the Spurs. So if an organization, the quality of San Antonio, has a falling out with Kawhi, well, we'll have questions. I don't really know what the answers are, but who's to blame?
Right.
And to whatever degree Kawhi is to blame, how much should that concern Masai Ujiri and the Raptors? We will get into that with Leo Routens, with Bruce Arthur, and we'll get into it with Sam Mitchell. He will join us. It's Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller. It's Overdrive on your Wednesday, TSN 1050. All right, no doubt this is the biggest trade in Raptors history. If healthy, Kawhi Leonard is
a big if, though.
A top 5 player in the NBA. It's also the biggest trade in franchise history because DeMar DeRozan was drafted by this organization, played almost a decade for this organization, and in the aftermath of Vince Carter's departure, prior to that, Tracy McGrady's departure, and later on Chris Bosh's departure, he committed to this city and did so proudly. So this is a pivot of epic proportions.
and for the Toronto Raptors.
And a continuation of a theme we talked about where players don't start and finish their career here. Since 1977, 82 NHL players have spent 10 years in the league with one team, 10-plus years. NBA, 27. Major League Baseball, 48. Raptors, Jays, Leafs, none.
Donut. And that will continue here as DeMar DeRozan moves on. Sam Mitchell, former Raptors head coach, good friend of Overdrive, is with us on the program. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing just fine. What's up, guys?
Well,
what's up?
What's up is as big a deal as this franchise has ever made. No doubt, Sam, you've been following the coverage, and the rumors were that this was likely, so it wasn't necessarily a holy crap moment when it officially went down, but what was your reaction when it officially went down?
Didn't have one. I mean, it's business. And for all those fans who get mad at players when they leave because of more money or for whatever reason, they need to take a step back. It's business. And the players understand it. I know I read reports where DeMar met with team officials and they promised him they weren't going to trade him. Well, first, that's my only problem. Just be honest with the guy. Just say, look. And I used to tell players this all the time. I love you until I can't love you no more. If there's a deal out there that's going to make us a better team, then it's my job to do that. Now, I could be right. I could be wrong. But that's the nature of the business. And the only thing about it that I don't particularly like, and it's, if it's true, it's things that you read, that if he went to them and said, look, are you guys actively trying to trade me? And I would have simply said, look, we're not actively trying to trade anybody, but we're always listening to improve our team. Obviously, because you're one of the better players in the league, teams are going to always inquire about you. Now, I'm not going to tell you we're not going to give you away, but if somebody put a deal on the table that we think is going to make us better, then we're not doing our job if we don't pursue it or try to make it happen. And the same for the player. So the next time a player leaves the city, I don't want to hear the fans crying and screaming and booing the player when he comes back to play. DeMar DeRozan committed to the Raptors. DeMar DeRozan wanted to be there, signed a long-term deal, didn't test free agency, didn't go out and court other teams, didn't make the Raptors beg him, and he got traded. So the next time a player leaves a situation for whatever reason, I want the fans to just thank him for the time served and move on.
Preach, Sam. You must have been reading my tweet.
No,
I agree with you.
And I tweeted it.
And
the next time a player leaves and you guys on the radio
crucify
him, you guys should be fired. Because DeMar DeRozan wanted to be there. He did everything right. Became an all-star. Became one of the best players in the league. And he got traded for what the team thought was a better player. Now, the interesting thing about this trade, if I'm hearing that Kawhi is upset, so you got one season to try to convince him to resign. And to be honest with you guys, if he don't resign, I think the Raptors are going to hit the reset button. I think this was their way of getting out of DeMar's contract. They got to believe that Kawhi is not going to resign, that there's a better than 50% chance that he's not going to resign. And I think they're going to try to make a run this year at the East. And hopefully if they go deep enough or get to the finals and lose the Golden State, because let's be honest, even with Kawhi Leonard, now if you had DeMar DeRozan and Kawhi, you had a chance to come out of the East and maybe a chance to beat Golden State. But let's be honest, even with Kawhi Leonard and the team around him, do you guys really think that the Raptors are going to beat Golden State if they come out of the East? I mean, Golden State have a all-star in every position now in the starting lineup when DeMarcus Cousins comes back. Now think about this. They got the best center in the league when healthy. They got the 1A or 1B at the small forward position. Draymond Green, a top five or six power forward. Klay Thompson in the top three or four. And Steph Curry, the top three or four point guards. So you can't obviously think, if the Raptors get out of the East, you still can't believe they got enough to beat Golden State Warriors.
But if they get to the finals, I mean, I guess you take your chances. Sam, let me ask you this. What's the biggest thing that Kawhi Leonard, if healthy, changes about the Raptors?
Well, yeah, that makes them better, but it's not just about Kawhi Leonard. What about the other Jimmys and Joes that's going to be around him? Who are you going to put around him?
Right.
I mean, look at the roster I just gave you with the Golden State Warriors. Look at some of the other
pretty good.
The Boston Celtics roster. So regardless of how good Kawhi Leonard plays, he doesn't have enough around him to make a run. And in today's NBA, you got to have a minimum of two stars to even be in the conversation of competing for a championship. If you don't have two, you're not even in the conversation. Back in the day when I played, all you needed was one and a lot of other good players around him. Today, you need two. And the reason you need two or more is because of what Golden State has done over the past 4 or 5 years.
With Sam Mitchell on Overdrive, TSN 1050, we understand, Sam, that Kawhi is an elite-level player. But last year was as strange and as weird a year involving a player and a franchise in its relationship that I think a lot of us can remember, at least that got out so publicly. And it got out so publicly because, let's be honest, Kawhi Leonard hardly played, and there was some debate about the degree of his injury. Teammates chimed in on social media. They were asked about it in the media and offered some sideways responses at times. How big a risk is this, just given what the last year has been with Kawhi, the player that the Raptors are acquiring?
Guys, it's zero risk from this standpoint. Can't you read between the tea leaves? The Raptors are getting ready to hit the reset button. I said that after when the Raptors got swept by the Cleveland Cavaliers, I looked at that team and looked at the organization and said, look, and I know Masai, they're getting ready to hit the reset button. That's just my gut feeling. Because they have to believe that there's a better than 50% chance that Kawhi is not going to stay there. And if you're Kawhi Leonard, think about it. You're from the West Coast. And since you're going to have to take, you just turned down $200+ million from the San Antonio Spurs. Why would you turn down $200+ million from San Antonio and then sign with the Raptors who traded for you, a team that's on the other end of the planet, as far as you're concerned, when you look at everything that you're comfortable with? So I think, look, I said it before, the Raptors are going to try to make a run in the East. Hopefully, if they make a deep enough run and a good enough run, it'll give Kawhi Leonard pause. Because you have to think, if the guy's with me every day, we have a chance. Look at Paul George. Yep. Everybody assumed he was going to the Lakers. He stayed in OKC. So if you're the Raptors and the Raptors fan, you roll out the welcome mat. You try to make him as comfortable. You try to make this as great a season as possible. But you also have to have in the back of your mind, where in the front of your mind, that there's a good chance Kawhi is going to leave. And if he does, you're going to hit the reset button. You're going to be a lottery team after Kawhi leaves, if he leaves. And then you're going to start over. Because you've had to run. You've won as many games. You won 59 games and got beat in the second round 4-0. So what does that tell you? It's not just DeMar or Kyle. It's your team is not good enough to win a championship. That's just the fact of it is.
So, Sam, let's just say for a second I'm Kawhi Leonard. And you've just acquired me. What are you selling on in Toronto? You've done this with players before, Sam. You've had to sell guys on Toronto. What are you saying to him to sell him on the team and the city?
Guys, you can sell him on the city. You can sell him on the diversity of the city. Toronto, look, it's one of my favorite places on this planet. I love the city. I love the people. Okay, but you got to understand something. I never came to Toronto wanting to be somewhere else. When I got to Toronto, that's where I wanted to be because they wanted me. Kawhi Leonard is different. He has a bunch of people that want him. You got the Lakers and Magic Johnson. You got everybody, basically, lineup that wants Kawhi Leonard. So it's a different feeling. You're going to try to sell him on the city. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to wins and losses and the Jimmys and Joes that he's playing alongside. And if he can't, look, if you can't win the East, then what are you going to do? My question is, if you're really trying to keep Kawhi Leonard, what other moves are you going to try to make to bring in another star caliber player to play alongside him? And then maybe if you can come out the East and get to the finals, maybe that may make Kawhi, you know, think a little bit, because you got to ask yourself, you know, you go back to the West, you got Houston, you know, you got Golden State, you got all those teams in the West to deal with. But now if you're going to the West and play with LeBron James and that young crew, group of young outstanding talent that the Lakers have, then that's a different story. So to me, Toronto's got to really try to add something, and this is going to tell you if they're really serious about keeping him. If they make a move for another star caliber player, then they're trying to keep him. If they stay pat and they go into the season with this roster, what do you guys think? You guys watch basketball. Do you think that roster, with no additional changes, has enough to compete for the Eastern Conference and beat the Boston Celtics and Philadelphia 76ers?
Well, Sam, I'll defer to you because I always do. But I would say this. They won 59 games last year, and they've got an arguably better player in the trade. They got the best player in the trade. So for 1 year, it's an upgrade, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, guys. But this is the thing. You don't know how Kawhi is going to fit in the locker room. Right. Is he happy? You know, you don't know. Guys, the locker room is a fickle thing. You can the most talent don't always win. It's the talent that gets along. The reason Golden State works is because all those guys have set their egos aside, right. And it started with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. So now everybody who joins, they understand you have to make sacrifices. The question you're going to come in, if you're a Toronto player, you're going to be walking on eggshells because you're already hearing that he doesn't want to be there. You're already hearing that after 1 year, he's going to go back on the free agent. Well, he's going to be a free agent, totally free, and he's leaving. So how, as a teammate, how do I deal with a guy, a superstar in my locker room, who everybody kisses a superstar butt? You know that. So how do I do that if I don't think a guy wants to be here? So the question is, Nick Nurse, as the coach, he's got his job set out for him because I'm sure Kawhi is going to be a professional and come out and play and do the things he needs to do. But again, it's just a tough situation for the other players because they're kind of walking on eggshells because he is the best player in that organization right now.
Sam, it is always great to get your insight. Really appreciate it, and we'll certainly be talking in the weeks ahead.
All right, guys.
Sam Mitchell is the former head coach of the Raptors.
Did he be fired? Did he say we should be fired?
If we were crapping on DeMar DeRozan.
For players leaving as free agents.
Well, no, but that's Gord. I tweeted that out about 5 hours ago. I was going to tease him. But he was bringing the fire today, so I stepped back. Yeah. I'm like, that's exactly what I tweeted 5 or 6 hours ago.
I never blame a player for leaving as a free agent.
Stop with the loyalty business.
Yeah. Well,
if you John Tavares, if you reach the point where you are without contract. Yep. Collectively bargained, unrestricted free agency, yep. Or free agency as it's known in baseball. There's no UFA, RFA
yep.
in baseball.
Just free agency, yep.
If you reach that point and you are without contract, you have earned that right.
Absolutely. And you remember, now, this is before you. I'm going to reach back in the time machine a little bit here. Did you ever read North Dallas 40?
Sorry, repeat that?
North Dallas 40, Peter Gent's book. It's a fictitious look at it. It's the Dallas Cowboys, but
okay.
It's not.
Yep.
And the greatest line from that book. Every time it's a player saying about the team, every time I say it's a business, they say it's a game. Every time I say it's a game, they say it's a business.
I'm always pro player on this stuff.
So am I.
You've got the right.
You've earned the right to do what you want. And especially to Sam's point, they trade guys all the time. DeMar DeRozan made a commitment to Toronto, mm-hmm. signed a contract, and they moved him. And they've got every right to do it, but players have every right to move when they've got the right to.
You bet. All right. Sound Wars on the other side, and then Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star in studio at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We are all over the Raptors' acquisition of Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a first-round pick that is top 20 protected in next June's draft. It becomes two second-rounders in 2020 if somehow the Raptors have a high enough pick, 1-20. Next year. That's how it's going to work. So it's a top 20 protected pick. We'll get into it with Bruce Arthur. It's Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller, Overdrive, TSN 1050.
The greatest moments in history are now up to you. This is TSN 1050's Sound Wars.
Yeah! Okay, it's 4:51. You're listening to Overdrive with Scott MacArthur and Gord Miller. The winner from today's Sound Wars battle between The Ref's an Idiot.
I love that one.
And Kansas City Voice Crack is The Ref's an Idiot.
Vasquez takes it quickly. And
oh! No,
the ref's lagging outside. How is he not giving it?
The ref's an idiot.
Vasquez gets right in his face.
I'd love to hear Gord Miller on a national broadcast. The ref's an idiot.
Yeah, no.
Homerism alert. The ref's an idiot received 68% of the vote. Kansas City Voice Crack, my math is terrible, but I think I can do this, received 32% of the vote.
Well, there could be some abstentions.
Now it's time for a Sound Wars battle in the Jerry Conference.
Okay.
It's seed number 3, a poem for Shirelli.
Mr. Peter Shirelli in Edmonton, I have a poem for you. It goes something like this. Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, you're not winning the lottery. And if by some miracle it happens, I'll personally rip that franchise out of Edmonton and ship it off to the worst city on earth. That's right, Winnipeg. You might have a second team starting next season.
That's rude.
Taking on seed number 6, When Jerry Loves a Woman.
When Jerry loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. He'd lock out his league for the good thing he's found. If she's bad, he can't see it. Even go back to Quebec City. If she said that's the way it ought to be.
Could I abstain from that one?
Oh, go to tsn1050.ca, click on Sound Wars and vote for your favorite poem for Shirelli or When Jerry Loves a Woman. Voting for this Sound War closes at 8 tomorrow morning. Listen to Landsberg in the morning for the results and for the start of a new Sound Wars battle on TSN 1050. Boom. I like that closeout.
I do, too. Right, I should put my feet up there. It's kind of laconic here.
You look awfully comfortable.
Well, you know, I'm gonna try to adjust my microphone again without breaking it.
There you go.
Oh, look at that. I did not break the microphone.
You are 1 for 2 this afternoon.
Oh, there you go.
Leo Routin's at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star in studio.
Hard Kauai. To top Sam. Hard to top Sam Mitchell. That was thunder and lightning from Sam.
We'll see what Bruce can do. Hour number 2 of Overdrive starts now. TSN 1050.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.